JLO, 1690 AM in Montreal. That's horrible.
Hello, you're listening to CJLO News. Crew, the Concordia Research and Education Workers Union, is now on strike. On Wednesday, March 12th, the union began a strike action as part of their bargaining with the university. Crew represents over 2,000 teaching assistants and research assistants at Concordia. With the union affiliating just 2 years ago, this is Crew's first strike.
By and large, it is increasingly challenging for our members to be able to pay tuition to this university, pay for rent throughout the city, and buy groceries and the other sort of necessities of life.
That was Jason Langford, a member of Crew's bargaining committee. The union has been in bargaining with the university since the summer, demanding higher wages, stronger job security, and an indexation system for TA contracts that would guarantee more consistent working hours.
There's like different ways that different schools hire teaching assistants. Some it's kind of like a permanent position. Others it's a priority system where you're still contract, but you are assured a set number of TA ships throughout your grad studies. And that is something we really wanted. It seems a little... Yeah, it seems very complicated for Concordia, and they seem very unwilling to.
For leverage, the union adopted a strike mandate in a special general meeting in February. With the threat of a strike looming, Concordia offered a tentative agreement at the beginning of March.
It was unsatisfactory.
66% of Crew voted to reject this tentative agreement in two special general meetings, triggering a strike.
Part of our key demands were for a wage increases, which would keep in line with inflation and also make Concordia a more competitive place for TAs across Canada. At many universities, TAs are paid much, much more than at Concordia.
The union argues that their wage should be increased to $45 an hour. They argue this is fair, comparing what TA wages are like at other universities, with wages at $51.93 an hour at U of T, $49.02 an hour at U Ottawa, and here at Montreal's own McGill University, $36.26. Concordia TAs make $29 an hour. Concordia stated to CJLO that to respect the bargaining process, they don't discuss ongoing negotiations that are taking place at the bargaining table, adding that they will continue to negotiate with Crew in good faith. The length of this strike is indefinite, but bargaining continues with the university. For the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Adam Innes.
just want to be loved. Want to be a shining star. Just want some.
ألو، معكم انترفيوز على CJL 1690 AM. I'm here today, not like last
Welcome
week.
Welcome back, May.
Thank
Welcome
you.
Back.
Thank you.
The three of us after a while, actually.
I know.
It's been a long time.
It's been, actually. So, guys, today we're going to be talking about a very special topic. And I feel like this topic, not triggers, but like it reflects a lot of Arab community like here or like in Arabs in general. I don't know why I'm lagging like this, but so basically today we're going to be talking about generational trauma in Arab families. And so here's the thing. Generational trauma is a biological and psychological phenomena where trauma responses are passed down through generations. And basically it's been like on because of many research has been going on, it's been said that grandparents are usually the ones who in a way pass the trauma on their children and grandchildren. And I feel like it's true because like our grandparents have been going through a lot, whether displacement, war, loss, especially like in our countries like the Lebanon, Syria, Palestine, even North Africa as well. And I would say that there's a lot of emotional suppression that's been like, I don't know. it's like
it's been passed on through a lot of like,
yeah,
it's been passed on like more than 10 years, like of
even
of
more
just
like for decades. Like, yeah, it's been going for on for decades. Mm-hmm. Like imagine your parents, like, so that's why we sit and we think like, oh my god, our parents were children at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Our parents, yeah, were babies at one point. Our grandparents were babies at one point. So I feel like, yeah, yani, it's...
Trauma is sent to people.
Yani, and like, I'm talking, I feel like it's so heavy. Imagine,
it's a very sensitive topic. Yeah,
it is. It sure is. It's, yeah, quite heavy.
So trigger warning, everyone.
Trigger
whoever.
Warning, yeah,
yeah. The show will mostly talk about the generational trauma for today. This generational trauma, I feel like it's like passed down obviously through generations, but passed down like way far back. Like it's not only like your dad or your mom, it's like your great, it's like people,
true,
who have also suffered but you don't know like their story, and then they pass it on, they pass their story down. So, mm-hmm, it's kind of hard, yeah, to trace, I feel like. And it's hard, the fact that it's hard to trace means that it's hard to like solve or treat or so yeah, it's very
I feel like because they haven't fully healed,
yeah, and they
haven't
also
fully,
yeah,
healed, like,
yeah, they don't talk about it, like
they don't talk
no
about
talks
it
about this
they
stuff.
Didn't like go for,
they don't know,
they don't know, and, mm-hmm, even if they know they would choose not to,
mm-hmm,
because
likely
of the certain like expectations or the standards or honor or like all of that basically. And it's so on, you know, like how toxic masculinity in our community be like, you're a man, you shouldn't cry or you should stay strong or whatever.
Yeah, you should hide your emotions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And for a girl, like you should always keep your honor first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I've never seen my father cry or my grandfather cry. So it's, mm-hmm, it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like imagine the only time I would imagine my father crying was as a child. That's it. But, mm-hmm, like now, I
older,
don't see
not
it
really. They try to be
maybe
like,
too,
yeah,
yeah.
They don't want to show their weakness to their families, I guess that's why. So, like,
yeah,
for them, is like if the guys cry, that means they're weak, and they try to be like as strong, like how they're expected to be, to look like, even though they should have this freedom of like actually expressing their feelings to
but
us.
Also I think that's how they were raised, like probably our fathers or Arab fathers in general, that's how they were raised, like their parents told them to like, hey, suppress your emotions, control your emotions, don't do this, don't do that.
Be a strong man.
Be a strong man, own it, you know, like that, like, perspective. So so I think it comes from the child, like, from your childhood, how you can, like, cope with your emotions. It's, you learn it when you're a child. Yeah.
Especially when, like, you're at an age where, like, you lose a father and, for example, you have to be with your single mom, like, a single mom and raising many children. And I feel like it's hard because it gives all the responsibility to the kids, and now they have to act like adults at, like, what, 7 years old, 8 years old?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That suppresses a lot of emotions.
No, it does. It's like one of the things that stop people from stop the guys from expressing their feelings. Especially they have to be the man of the house. The strong, independent that everyone can rely on you.
Yeah,
and all of that.
Yeah, but she gives like a false image to masculine men in our society. Mm-hmm. It gets to a point where it's like they confuse it with violence or something. So some people feeling like I'm a man, I have to be violent all the time. I have to do this.
They misunderstand it in a way. Yeah. They don't see it as something different.
I guess these men they do have trauma, but they don't show it.
Oh, for sure.
They deal with it.
They have a lot.
They need help. For example, I feel like women are more prone to the idea that, I need help. I can go take a therapy session. Mm-hmm. I can go, for example, meditate or pray or like whatever. For men, it's like, I have to do that.
Yeah.
I have to take therapy.
Like, do you think I really need that? Yeah.
I'm not crazy. Oh my God. The misconception about having therapy and like, if you take therapy, you're crazy. You're a psychopath. No way.
Yeah. Or you're different, or you're not like others.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. There's nothing wrong with you. And there's the thing. There's also like parents who, for example, let's say their children are sick. For example, no, you're not sick. They gaslight themselves that they're not sick, or they're not like whatever.
Yeah.
You have to listen to your children.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Because
yeah.
if you want your children to listen to you, it has to be reciprocated as well.
Yeah, you have to listen to what they're feeling. Yeah, and they know the best. Like if they feel that they're sick or that they need help, you have to like provide them with that. Yeah.
So I agree. I agree 100%.
So I guess we can move on with like. So basically, this topic is influenced by the information that we're going to talk about today about this topic is from a Instagram post that we found. I think Judy found it while she was like searching for our topic of the week. And who is this woman called? Sorry, I don't have the name in front of me.
Yeah, her name is Michelin Ma'alouf, and she's a half Syrian, half Lebanese psychologist. Make sure you guys follow her because she actually has a lot of inspirational stuff about like Arabs in general, not like very specific and very deep in their thoughts and stuff like that.
She has really like interesting topics that we might like hold on and
talk about.
Yeah, and keep in our minds. Yeah,
and the way she explains everything, it's like easy and like. You can read it and she explains it relatable, very relatable too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So I have something that I want to share from this post, and it's mostly about how to start healing from generational trauma. Some people may say it's impossible.
it could be impossible. But,
Do you guys think it's impossible?
I don't think it's impossible. I just feel like it's going to take a lot of time, which is okay because you have a lot. Sometimes you have so much time on your hands that you're not aware of, and you can put all that time into rediscovering yourself instead of like making it worse with overworking or like
neglecting it or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It does. I think it's possible to heal everything. Mm-hmm. It just has to start from the person himself.
Of course,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, it has to start from the person himself, and they have to accept. And for some reason, like in our society, it's very hard to accept that you need healing. They just think that that's my feelings towards the society. It's like they think that they're good and they don't need this healing, and they don't have.
Yeah, they can solve it like by their own. They don't need help.
Ask for help. Mm-hmm. Or like just a matter of accepting this. It's hard.
I think because you have to first accept it.
Or awareness. Yeah, which is not very common too. I think
right in the Arab world.
very common.
So I have a few things I want to talk about, like some solutions that could actually help you heal generational trauma. Like for example. You can talk about open conversations, validate and listen, and educate yourself. So I'll go more deep down into this. But before that, we'll take a break.
Production Nuit d'Afrique invites you to discover new talent with its World Music Showcase, the 18th edition of Cité d'Or dans la musique du monde. Come discover 36 acts every Tuesday and Wednesday at Club Balatou until April 9th. Take part in the free showcase concerts and vote for your favorite artist. More info on Célidor.com, Facebook, and Instagram.
Listen to Madun Talk on CJLO 1690 AM, Saturdays 4 p.m. to 5 p.m., hosted by Kamala Madun Talk Wright, an introduction to revolutionary reggae consciousness and the Caribbean indigenous community. Maroons, Karamanti, Kumina, Caribs, Taino, and Rastafarian culture, issues affecting the BIPOC community.
Welcome back to the Voice of the Voiceless on CJLO 1690 AM. So we're continuing with our topic, generational trauma. And I have a few suggestions or a few tips or a few guidelines or something that could help people to try to start healing their generational trauma. So I mentioned three ways. You can, of course, this is the first step, I guess, is to start being conscious and being aware, as Judy said, about your feelings. And also, as you start doing that, you have to get people involved in your healing process to make it more successful and more
easier to handle. Yeah. And easier, you need people to listen to what
to guide
are
you
saying
and to give you also tips and things like that. So you can create a space. You also can even talk to people who may have impacted your generational trauma, like elders or people who actually faced traumas that they possibly passed it down to you without, of course, their intention or without bad intentions. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes healing begins with understanding the full picture. So if you talk to your to elders or to someone who has passed through a lot of traumatic experiences and I don't know, through life and through difficulties, they didn't realize that they passed it down to you. Mm. Well, you can go and talk to them, and you can learn more about their story, learn more about their experiences, what they've been to. I know it's not that easy to go and speak to these to elders and people who have influenced your life, but I guess it's that first step is to talk to these people who may have impacted your
healing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it starts with acknowledging it yourself before actually speaking to the person that you might have this and understanding what it means.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not necessarily passed by as she said, it's not intentional, it's unintentional, and it's usually passed through DNAs, actually.
True.
And that's what generational trauma is, and that's how she mentions it.
True.
You know?
It can be passed by through DNA.
It can be passed, but it doesn't, alter the system. It just, it basically, as I read in the post, it shapes how it's more influential on the person's personality.
Mm-hmm.
It's more on the child and, how it's all science, but like
yeah. It affects you a lot as you grow older too. Yeah. Also, like, as you talk with these people, your elders, whether it's your grandfather or your father or your mother or your aunt, you can start acknowledging their hardships. So once you understand their version of their story and how they experienced their life, you can really like understand the hardships that they've been through, so you start to show empathy. So I feel like once you start showing empathy and forgiving maybe what past members of the members of the family have been through, and the fact that they had to like kind of push that all into you because they didn't know anything how to do it in another way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think once you understand that, and once you understand that, hey, they passed through a lot of things, and maybe it's not their fault. Maybe, of course, they also suffered from generational trauma because they had a parent, and they were also a child, and they also had a grandparent, and they also had like family around. So they were a child who also suffered from these things. So elders, like your father or your grandmother, things like that, they're also like, you know, they were learning too.
Yeah.
And they were also children. So you also have to start forgiving them. And once you forgive them, you can also start forgiving yourself.
Mm-hmm. Not blame them.
Yeah, but yeah. That's why I feel like maybe it can be difficult for some people to go immediately like to their parents first.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it can be easier to go to the grandparents, the aunts, the uncles, stuff like that, and then go to the parents.
And go because to the parents, yeah.
Communication can be a little bit difficult in such situations with parents.
Yeah, you don't want to blame them. Like, we're not putting the blame on them. It's just like us talking about the things that bothers us.
Yeah, it's the way you say it.
Yeah, it's the way you say it. I guess like if you go to them and say that, oh, like I want to hear a story from you, or I want to like listen to your like past life, maybe you can like take some bits from it and like kind of like understand that, oh, that's why they're behaving in this certain way.
Oh yeah.
Or that's
a very
why
good idea.
Yeah, or that's why they like sometimes they talk a certain way or behave a certain way because they have experienced certain things.
Exactly.
And through the stories that they will tell you through these like important discussions, you can kind of like figure that out. So I guess it's important.
It reminds me of like a quote that I always like try to remember whenever I'm whenever I'm thinking of my parents or like stuff that bothers me. It's like it's everyone's first time living.
Exactly. Yeah.
So like there's no point of blaming others because like everyone is living in this earth for the first time. No matter what. Mm-hmm. So like even the grandparents, us, you, like everyone around us.
I do remember you told me about this quote, actually. I remember I was talking to you about a thing and then you said this quote and I was like, yeah, that's actually true.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why sometimes I go home and I'm like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't be harsh on my mother sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Like, on ourselves, on our mothers, on our friends, on everyone surrounding us. Like we shouldn't be harsh because everyone is living for the first time, so everyone is like experiencing life differently,
right?
Yeah, you know,
for sure.
So that's something to keep in mind too.
Yeah,
I feel like in order to heal our inner trauma.
Exactly. Yeah. And for example, you can also start, as we mentioned before, like start educating yourself about like historical and like cultural context that may have influenced your family's coping mechanisms. So that's like something really interesting to learn about, like maybe the history of your family, what they did, what they achieved, how did they do it, it just makes you learn more about your culture and more about your like family heritage. So it kind of lets you like understand that, okay, they've suffered a lot. So so it's like, wow, okay, so it's like, okay, wow, I'm sure they also have trauma, and like, you know, like you can really understand them from this perspective.
But it also goes both ways, like if we excuse them for going for everything they went through, that doesn't give a reason for them not to excuse us sometimes for the way we behave, because I feel like maybe it's misunderstood. Like, yes, I forgive you, I excuse you for what you went through, but still on their end, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's expectations though. Like that's what we expect them to do, to be like, but I think we should accept the fact that maybe that's how they are.
I think maybe also
some people just don't change
through discussions, like talking to them, I think maybe it could change a bit their perspective on you and things like that. And like if they're willing, that they know that you want to listen and you want to like learn about their history and their story, maybe they will become more like
it's compromisation.
Yeah, compromise, right? And like, okay, she's maybe more interested or something. I don't know. Yeah, but like it goes both ways. Obviously, I agree for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but what would you do if they don't change? If you see that there's,
I mean, they don't change. But that's about them.
Yeah, of course, that's about them.
Yeah, that's about them. But for about you, you will need to change.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're gonna like hold grudges, like you're gonna just say, like they're not gonna change. I won't change.
Yeah, like, I feel like holding grudges stops the process of healing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, if you always keep grudges against people because they can't change or they are not willing to change, it's like you are not also willing to change because you're gonna stay in that mentality. So mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think
accepting the other, I think that's something that I would try to do all the time. Like I always try to do it with the people around me. I'm like, I can't change them. I can tell them how I'm feeling, mm-hmm. but if they don't change, it's mm-hmm. not my fault.
You have to accept sometimes, but like...
Not accept them.
Accept yourself first.
Accept yourself and...
Accept too. What can you do?
Yeah. Also, yeah. I don't know about accepting them, but just maybe forgiving. I think forgiving is an important part of the healing process.
Or maybe avoiding. Can avoiding...
Avoiding if it brings you peace, yeah.
Avoiding, yeah. If it's...
But is avoiding running from the problem?
It depends.
That's how I feel.
I feel like it depends. Maybe if, let's say, you and this person, you communicated and mm-hmm. they didn't change, right? Once, twice, three times. And you just wanted to avoid for your own sake, not for theirs.
Like avoid problems, you mean? Or avoid
just
like...
Just to avoid like...
In what context exactly?
Yani... Much like not problems with them. It's like if let's say you communicated something with them mm-hmm. about what they and they're like, oh my god, yeah, because I went through this, because I was blinded by this, mm. because I'm excused because I was blinded by this thing.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I still feel avoidance is a type of like running from the problem for me.
Yeah,
because avoiding, like if you mean avoiding them, it's fine, but if you mean avoiding your feelings towards them, that's actually
never meant avoiding them.
Okay, yeah. That's a different thing. Then.
Yeah. I mean avoiding them, but like avoiding the problem will only make it worse on mm-hmm. yourself. So mm-hmm. no.
Like just like facing it and like understanding what it is, and I think accepting it in a way that like makes you at peace in your heart.
Yeah,
accepting
that situation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also.
Make it peaceful in your heart.
And trying to like, you know, like fix it for yourself rather than like fixing it for someone else if you think that someone else will not change. Yeah. So it always goes to you at the end of the day. Like it's how you see things and not how other people see things. So
it's scary.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah.
Life is scary, guys.
It is, but at the same time, it's like it's only scary when you're in the wrong too much.
Mm-hmm. When you
like when you surround yourself with the wrong too much, or like you're around the wrong people way too much, so you're used to it. That's when it gets scary and you get paranoid. But then, no, sometimes it can take a good turn.
That's true, actually.
It can take a good turn, and you feel safe around your friends, around your family, around your friends, mm-hmm. around yourself even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because when you're paranoid, you're not safe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
When you're safe and when you're like around people who actually make you feel safe, there's... Fear is just an illusion, guys.
Yeah. It's true.
And also, I feel like in Arab families, we don't like talking about trauma, and we don't like talking about like... like past experiences that have that was a struggle for them and things like that. So mm-hmm. like I feel like if like you start and you start maybe changing the narrative, and then instead of like saying that like, oh, we shouldn't talk about that, like you can say like, it's okay to feel that, maybe we should talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You say that to, for example, your mother or your father, like if even if like someone who's elder, they would say, for example, oh, like, no, we shouldn't talk about that, or like it's a hip, or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I want to talk about it, and I will talk
about it.
And let's talk about it together, because I am willing to talk about it and I want to start the conversation. So you have to start from like you are the one who starts it, even though other people may not want to start talking mm-hmm. about it.
And it can be intimidating to start.
Of course, yeah.
It is, yeah. It is. Yeah.
Especially yeah, yeah, yeah. if you're surrounded, like, let's say a household where you're like not comfortable 100% to speak your mind.
Of course, yeah.
So just imagine the pressure that you want to put yourself in to gain peace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you're afraid, like, if you say stuff that they might misunderstand what you're trying to say.
So you have to calculate what you're going to say.
Yeah, you have to, like, actually use the
you
right words.
You have to use the right words, yeah.
Be impeccable with your mm-hmm. words and, like, know what you're actually saying. And my cousin's grandpa, actually, like, the other day he was at our place and he was, like, and there, like, he was talking about, like, different topics. Like, he talks about, like, very different topics that we don't usually talk about in our place. And it's just interesting. He was like, no, like my family was like, no, we don't. Why are we talking about this now? He's like, no, everyone should know. Like, we're mm-hmm. black. It's actually something that's very useful for yeah. them. Let them have the knowledge.
We should start the conversation.
Yeah, we should start continuing these conversations. And he's actually one of the people who was a listener back in the past mm-hmm. because he was surrounded by a lot of people from different working places, and like he would be talking with people with different interests okay. and like he would get the knowledge from them, and now from this knowledge he has like this way of talking mm-hmm. like about topics, certain mm-hmm. topics
mm-hmm. and he's not afraid to like talk about those topics.
No, you yeah. can ask him whatever you want,
okay,
and he
really
can
cool.
talk to you. So I think when you have someone in your life that's willing to like share his
and
experiences
to listen, yeah. mm-hmm.
and willing to listen to what you actually mean mm-hmm. and not fight you
mm-hmm. yeah,
like mm-hmm. you know, that's what helps you develop as a person.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah, yeah.
And also like it's also like when you become like, I think generational trauma is past, but also it's healing in a way. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel.
If you pass, what do you mean if you pass generational
like,
trauma?
It's past. Like yeah. for example, my grandma and then my mom. So like when I see the difference, there's a lot of difference in perspectives and in thought and thinking mm. wise, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just because the more like the every generation is different and mm-hmm. they're born in a different society.
Yeah.
So they think differently.
Yeah.
So they evolve as human beings, most likely. Like yeah. us right now, we're talking about this. I don't yeah. think my mom or my parents used to talk about this.
Right,
you know?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Our generation, hopefully we're going to be better because we're willing to listen if yeah. we're talking about it from now.
I feel like we're more open about it, like our generation.
Yeah,
sure.
We're more
yeah.
like, because we seek, like we need that, like
yeah.
we seek the help that
and
we
we're aware
need.
Of
we,
it.
We yeah. are aware. Everyone yeah. is more like, more open to listen. People are reading about it. People are speaking about it. So it's not something like aib anymore, mm-hmm. I feel like.
Yeah, and we do it with our future children, inshallah.
Hopefully,
no,
yeah.
inshallah,
hopefully we can
yeah,
do it
yeah.
like that, you know? Like
hopefully that part of the generational trauma doesn't get passed.
I hope. To be honest, I hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All this work for no reason.
Like yeah, we're talking
no.
about it right now.
No,
sorry
exactly.
if we do.
Imagine our kids listening to this episode years later. Mm-hmm. Actually
that'd
they'd
be really
like,
cool. Wow.
These are our mothers
talking about trauma,
talking about generation trauma.
Us.
Oh my yeah. god yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna play a song by Karaoke. It's called Menkhaf. It's a very nice song. It represents being scared, but also I think it's a song that suits today's episode, so have a good listen.
بنخاف لنقرب نتغر ونخاف لنقرب نتهر من بعض كتير من بعض كتير بنخاف نتكلم نتألم وكلامنا يقصر ويعلم بنخاف لو نسرح فنبل من غير تفسير بنخاف لنحب ما نتحب بنخاف لجرحنا ما تتلمش بنخاف نهتم فا
فنتهمش ونخاف لمغير بنخاف نتجمع نتفر أول ما بنفرح بنقل بنخاف نجر ونتعلق نعشق ونميل
في أسئلة براسي عنك عن الحارة عن كيف مرق الوقت عن شو عملتي عالسكت إذا جد نشف الوادي إذا بقيت حجارة في أسئلة براسي عنك عن الحارة عن كيف مرق الوقت عن شو عملتي عالسكت إذا جد نشف الوادي إذا بقيت حجارة شوي بتوجع برلين حلوة وملانة ناس بس بشتاق لأم صبري وبشتاق لك انت بالأساس شوي بتوجع برلين حلوة وملانة ناس بس بشتاق لأم صبري وبشتاق لك بالأساس حكيلي شو بحكوا أخبار عطيني شو عندك نميني بلا خراف الجرات القهوة بطل إلاقيني مين أجر دار ولا مشطر طيب مين صار أرخص ديلر مين مسكته مرته عالحامي ماخد صاحبته عالتسيمر بيقولوا إنه حمود اللي كان يتمرن حديد محبوس من شي سنتين قال سارق فرع البريد طب بعده عاطف بالعمار بعده ما هدو التعب بعده كل ليل البوليس بتمنيك عولاد العرب بعده ما كلنا الغضب بعده الطوش مع الروس بعده كل الحارة بتبكي كل مكان طلعت عروس بعده حسن عم بخز إعجال الأخد له الصفي والبرندة عالبرندة أقرب من شفي عشفي كبرت الحارة سمعت جابوا ملان أثيوبية وانت نقلت مع صديقك سكنت بالألمانية طبعا بتقعدي بفتوش عم بتشوفي ام وديع بعد الصبح
أشرف حنا باخد قهوة عالسريع بعدها معلقة الاسلال بعدها بتمشي الكرنبيت بعده مصمم نوصل راي ينزل يتصيد يبعت ليت بعدها بتطول البارة بتسكر وجه الصبح بعدهم بيحكوا بالسياسة وبيفتحوا براسك قدح بعدك عم بتصدق حالك لما تقولي آخر شط طب طلعتي مع حدا غير من البار ونمتوا عالشط بيقولوا عنك لقيمة اني بسببك انجنيت انك انت اللي تركتيني ودشرت البلد وهجيت بعرف مش هذا اللي صار بس هاي الحارة بتتغيرش دايما تعلق المرة وبالشاب الناس بتسألش بس مش متصل اتأسف انا متصل اضحك معك عإنهم بيحكوا قصتنا وهني نقشوا كعك حلو القصة اللي اخترعوها القصة احلى من الحقيقة بتضلنا انزش بكتير من كذبة انك صديقة ومتصل احكي تنضغطيش شهرين وهالحارة بتنسى وانا زي كل ولاد الحارة برجع قلبي بسرعة يتصى ومتصل احكي عن برلين حلوة وملاني ناس بس بشتاق لأم صبري وبشتاق لك انت بالاساس شوي بتوجع برلين حلوة وملاني ناس بس بشتاق لأم صبري وبشتاق لك بالاساس
You were just listening to Questions on My Mind by Farah Sleiman. And right now we're going to continue our episode. We have a very special guest here. We're going to ask him about his experiences when he was a child back in Lebanon. We have here Jad Saad. Welcome. Hello. Hello, Jad.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for coming here.
It's my pleasure.
Do you want a trauma dump or do you want us to ask questions?
No, sure, you can start off with a question. But before we start, I just want to give a little shout out to my sister, Judy. She's listening to the podcast right now, so I just want to say hi.
And she's also our biggest fan, by the way, and she knows it.
Shout out to all the biggest fans here.
Thank you
for listening.
Actually.
Yeah. Jad, how do you feel about generational trauma?
Well, growing up back in Lebanon, I know my parents went through a lot, so it was very obvious to see sometimes they would project that trauma towards us. I was lucky that at home, my mom never made any topic taboo. We could talk about anything with her. So it was very nice to have that. With my dad, it wasn't as easy. But this was something that you guys mentioned earlier as well. It's like the men, they don't really bring up their trauma. They don't really like to talk about it. But sometimes at the dinner table, when you're just sitting down, your dad drops like this big piece of dad lore that you've never heard before.
Like he drops a bomb on you or something.
Exactly.
Dad lore.
He drops something you've never expected before, and now all of a sudden your whole perspective of him changes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so thankfully I had parents who were willing to listen, and I'm very grateful for that. But obviously, a lot of the times when, especially when very recently, when like there started to be like a lot of noises and a lot of airplanes that would pass by over Lebanon, when I was there back in September, you could tell how quickly my parents reacted, and you could tell that this is something they've experienced before. So seeing them in that kind of stress, kind of like it projected onto me. And now nowadays, every time like an airplane passes or like I hear a loud noise or something, it's very obvious to just, it's just, you get scared, you just get startled all of a sudden. So, yeah.
Yeah, I have similar experiences like you, Jad. Like for me, during the war in Syria, when it happened, there was a lot of helicopters. So whenever I hear them right now, I still feel that I remember the part when I was in Syria, you know? So it's also, I think, might be passed through generation. Maybe not. I'm not sure if it's going to be passed through DNA or not. Hopefully not. So I do feel.
Yeah.
I do feel this. Like, it's very, it's one of the hardest thing, I think, us as Arabs that has faced and all our families has faced.
Yeah, I remember my mom would also tell me stories and like my dad around like 2006 when everything, There was like something in 2006.
Yeah, Harb Tammuz.
Yeah, that and the explosion as well. That was in 2020. That was also something that I could never forget. I feel like it's the biggest thing I've went through.
Mm-hmm.
The explosion.
It is big. Yeah, it is big. It's not something that small.
No. Yeah.
That we would like we went through.
I mean, the explosion in 2020 was. It was life-changing in a very negative way, but nonetheless, it was something that I guess, I don't know, it really reshaped the way that we view our country and everything, right? Like, we thought we were safe, we thought everything was fine, and then all of a sudden all this happens, and how quickly things deteriorate. It makes you really upset to think about it, to look back at it, especially right now. Because growing up, we had such a peaceful life, right? And especially like us in Lebanon, we have that reputation. Like we're known to like have a
peaceful and happy life.
Yeah, but the way that the country deteriorated so badly, and seeing how everyone reacted, and seeing the country divided and all that, it just makes you sad. When you think about it, so we try not to think about it.
That's also part of like that's a way you that's avoidance.
Yeah, it is avoidance.
I don't know if that's how we should go through this. I feel like we should talk about it more. Like me, I don't talk about the war a lot, like what I've been through or what just like the way we moved from one country to other to the other. Like I do talk about it, but like I don't know if that's
enough.
Or like if that's healing or not, I don't know.
I feel like maybe displacement plays a big part in not helping in healing, because you're always moving from one place to another.
Yeah.
So you don't get the chance to settle down and breathe and think like, what's going on, you know?
Maybe you're right. Yeah, because I've moved all my life. Now this is the most stable I've been.
Yeah.
So I'm having this comfort of like actually facing my. Like life before
do
my
feel
childhood.
Like you found a home like over here?
Yeah I do. Do so you feel that too?
No
not yet.
Well, not yet. I've only been here for a short while.
Yeah, it's
so
true.
Yeah, I still need some time to adapt, but like, you know, I lived my whole life in Lebanon, so it's very hard. I'm still really connected to the country and everything over there, so I don't really see myself living out here for long. Like, I just think I might just go back anytime soon. But
The thing about people who leave Lebanon, they cannot, like, see any place that's, like, home other than Lebanon. So, اللي بيترك لبنان مستحيل مستحيل يلاقي مثل لبنان.
احنا شايفين حالنا اللبنانيين. Like,
I mean...
It's true. No one shy of halo. No, I think we just have like this. Like everyone thinks they're the best. It's just us in our blood in a way. But it's fine.
We're too prideful.
Yeah.
Which I like actually.
It's
like
good.
I love how like Lebanese people are so connected with each
good,
other.
But it can make you ignorant, especially.
It does.
Like, yeah, especially when like people refuse to talk about. The negative sides that we have in our country. Like I can talk about the positive all the time, but we have to be honest
so
with ourselves.
It's considered as a taboo to talk about the negatives in a way.
Yeah,
it's like a parent telling their child, you're perfect, there's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, that's how Lebanese people, I feel like, see their country. Like, it's perfect, there's nothing bad going on.
Yeah, there's no problems. We definitely have electricity all the time.
Yeah, we can definitely go clubbing
like
next day.
We definitely have water.
Yeah.
Sorry to cut off, but we need to go to on a break for like 1 minute and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Sydney Sheedy.
And I'm Piper Curtis.
We're the producers of Discordia, a 10-part audio docuseries for CJLO 1690 AM, funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada Radio Meters Program.
Tune in on Monday, March 10th at 6 p.m. for the 7th episode of Discordia on the 2023 Crew Campaign and how they became Concordia's new Teaching and Research Assistant Labor Union.
Tune in to Mo Ritmo Radio for some amazing jams from the worlds of Latin American rhythmic music. Saturdays at 5 p.m. only on CJLO.
Mo Ritmo with Mr. B. مهما كان ليلك طويل كل حاجة بتعدي مهما كان حملك تقيل كل حاجة بتعدي لو عينك غفلت كل حاجة بتعدي لو الدنيا قفلت كل حاجة بتعدي لو حبيبك سابك والزمن ساقك واتلخبطت أسبابك لو أمالك اتعطلت وأحلامك فرملت وجواك شايلة تعدي مهما كان قلبك ندمان كل حاجة بتعدي مهما كنت في غلطك سارع كل حاجة بتعدي سيبك من الناس ربنا بيسامح كل حاجة بتعدي كلم نفسك وعليها تصالح كل حاجة بتعدي الليل طويل مليان أحلام تاخدك وتفضل فيها سارح والنهار أجمل كمان شمسه تنور حلم امبارح صحيح الأيام صعبة كتير بتعلم جوانا وتخبي بس لازم نعيش قبل ما الدنيا تعدي كل الناس خايفة من بكرة ويجي بكرة ولسه خايفين بكرة مش يوم بكرة ده فكرة هما جواها محبوسين أوقاتك هي حكاياتك وحكاياتك هي حياتك ما تسيبش يوم ما تسيبش سطر في كتابك وكفاية كل اللي فاتك وانسى الأمور سطر في كتابك وكفاية كل اللي فاتك وانسى الهموم مهما كان ليلك طويل كل حاجة بتعدي
Welcome back. You're just listening to The Voice of the Voiceless on CJLO 1690 AM. كنا عم نسمع كل حاجة بتعدي by Kairoki. We love this band. It's actually amazing.
Guys, fun fact, Mariam just found out that Kairoki is from Kairo. So.
No, I realized it. I thought it was like karaoke, like the activity. And then I was like, Kairo.
Kairo. Kairo. Kairo. Kairo.
Kairo. Kairo.
Kairo.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
We're going to continue our topic of healing trauma. And stuff like that.
Healing trauma through laughter, guys.
I swear to God, they were just playing with the balloons before we entered, so...
My inner child was happy.
Yeah, that was really fun. I really enjoyed it.
I'm getting Mimi balloons.
For my birthday next month, don't forget.
I know. Inshallah.
Happy birthday, Mimi.
Happy early birthday.
Yeah, happy early birthday. And Jad. Hi, Jad.
Hello. Hi, Jad. Kifak, Jad.
No, I can't respond to that right now.
Your name is very similar to Jawad. Whoever knows this meme will probably know what it means when a person asks Kifak Jawad.
Kifak Jawad.
Oh, Kifak Jad. Kifak Jad. How do you feel about
the Kifak Jawad?
No, not the Kifak Jawad. No. About stuff and كل حاجات بتعدي. No, do you believe in that? Do you think that things will pass by and like you'll become peaceful?
recently I went through something very difficult, and when I was talking with my mom about it, she told me time heals everything. Mm-hmm. So I believe that this is true. Like, with time, everything will heal. And seeing, again, mentioning my parents, seeing what they went through and how they managed to heal with time, now they're happy, you know? So they've managed to build a nice life for themselves. And the fact that they've been capable to do that despite everything they went through, they did it. They were able to overcome all of that thanks to time.
Mm-hmm.
And growth. So, yeah, I believe كل حاجة بتعدي.
كل حاجة بتعدي. مظبوط. No, I agree with you. I think time heals everything, and I've seen it with me too. Like, I've seen it with myself, with how I'm trying to like heal with everything.
Yeah.
And like, when I see myself, when you see yourself in 5 years, probably you're gonna be like, wow. Why did I used to think this way? Like, how much I healed right now? Like, how much I changed?
Sometimes you look back on the things that you used to think or do, and you laugh, and you realize I was
actually
so stupid. Yeah,
actually,
it's so true. Yeah.
But I think also putting effort with time, it makes the perfect mix to get over stuff.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it just needs effort and like time for everything to happen.
Yeah.
So basically I'm gonna take it from there. I would say, as Jad said, and as your mother said, Jad, time heals everything. And when you look actually back at yourself years later and you think like, oh my god, I was doing that, I was doing this, I was acting that way, I said those stuff.
Yeah.
فبعدين بتقول يعني شها ليش انا عملت هيك, you know. بس كمان ما بحس انه we need to blame ourselves when we do so, because without that time, without that thing that we went through, we wouldn't have been where we are right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We had to go through it for a reason. اصلا كل شيء مكتوب, so we had to go through it.
And another thing that Micheline Maalouf says, she's like, expect setbacks. So there will be days when old patterns resurface, when family conversations feel tense, or when progress feels lost. So basically, sometimes you will feel like all the progress with your family is gone.
Yeah.
However, you can reshape this, or like retry again, despite all the bad despite of not seeing any progress. You know,
I believe this is the mission of our generation coming up. We're gonna have to be the ones that be more open-minded.
Exactly.
And not pass on our trauma towards our future generations. So this is what we have to work on.
Mm-hmm, I agree. And she says, like, every setback is a chance to identify where more support is needed.
Mm-hmm.
So every setback that you see within your family, your friends, you should know that it's where you need to support the most, or like you would listen to what they're actually saying instead of just judging and blaming them again, you know. We don't have to go نقطة صفر مرة تانية.
Yeah, exactly.
It's still
there's
progress.
No point. Yeah,
there's no 0%, there's always 1%, even if you feel like there's a drawback. I feel like there's always 1%,
but sometimes like you have to go back to point zero, because but not like بعد مليون مرة, like at least to a point where you're like, خلاص, that's enough, this is the last time I'm going back to point zero. I feel like, I also believe in the whole process, you have to be gentle with yourself, because when you're gentle with yourself, it's gonna mirror how you're gonna talk with the other person.
Oh yeah, لأنه for
مثلا,
sure.
When you're holding on, when you're holding grudges, when you're like, yeah, and I'm gonna go fight, or like, no, when you're gentle with yourself, like, I'm okay, I'm calm, this is not my fault, you tell your parents, for example, this was never your fault.
Mm-mm.
If that makes sense.
Okay. Do you think we reflect our parents' feeling with our attitudes at home? Like,
yes.
Do you think whatever 100%. Our parents are feeling,
100%.
We present it?
I feel like I see how my parents behave and how they speak to me and like my sister, and then I start like getting that from them sometimes without even realizing thinking that I'm like, oh my god, I'm actually like being like not talking like them, but like taking bits and pieces from how they are,
yeah,
and portraying it on me. But that was never my intention. Like I never wanted to be like that.
Yeah.
So it's very, very hard to actually like try to like separate sometimes yourself from how your parents speak to you or how they,
That's why they say من عشرة قوما أربعين يومها أربعين يوما صار منهم. لأنه basically with time you take all the habits. So imagine living all your life with your family.
I'm you like start adopting all the habits that the family has.
Even with friends, like sometimes you're like 1 month into knowing them, you know, like you take bits and pieces from everyone.
I have influence on the British accent.
you did.
I start speaking British accent and then like 2 weeks later I see a friend of mine speaking a British accent and I'm like, where did you get that British accent? And they're like, from